up your frozen dinners, grab your TV tray, and settle in for another episode of the Plus Platoon, your podcast for all things Disney Plus, brought to you by Disney Plus fans. Watch along with us every week as we cover all the new, the old, the good, and the bad on Disney Plus. So put down that remote, don't touch that dial, and welcome your fabulous Plus Platoon host.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Plus Platoon. We're a Disney Plus fan podcast that gives honest, spoiler-filled reviews of movies and shows on Disney Plus. We'll look at new releases, coming attractions, and we'll even go back into the vault to revisit some of the classic Disney that's on the platform. Make sure you're subscribed and you will never miss a moment. I'm going to ring in Kate. Kate, good to see you this evening.
Good to see you. I love your festive holiday backdrop you've got there.
Yeah, that's kind of what happens when I can't go downstairs for a month because my post-surgical hip. But
yep, I like it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it worked out well. Next, we've got Pete. Pete, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing good. You know what I mean?
I was so wondering what you were going to do. I was so wondering.
And last and certainly not least, we got a full platoon tonight. Steve, how's your week going?
It's going great. Happy holidays, everyone.
Yeah, happy holidays.
Yes.
Yeah, guys, we were not around last week just because of some different issues that came up, but you're not going to miss what we're going to talk about because we're going to hit both things this week. But if you have not already, please like, subscribe, share this show. So we've got some fun stuff. We're getting ready to go into our Christmas break. We've got some really fun shows coming up next January and February that I think you're not going to want to miss. So this week, we are going back into the early 90s, late 80s, for Ernest Saves Christmas. Jim Varney as Ernest. The character originated in a bunch of commercials for down in the area. Those of you who have not seen him as Ernest also know him as the voice of Slinky in the Toy Story movies. But there were multiple Ernest movies made. I believe the first one was Ernest Goes to Camp. And then this was the second one that was made. This was actually one of the first movies that was ever made at Disney MGM Studios down in Florida. You can tell because when they do all the driving, that's on Epcot Drive. Because if you look in the background, you can see the different like Magic Kingdom and Epcot exit signs as they're driving. So, and the house was on their America's Street or whatever it was called for years. And so, this was filmed in Orlando.
I couldn't have told.
My favorite was the Apopka Snake Ranch. Yes.
Or old Orlando was all over this thing.
Yes.
My wife was like, that's not what the airport looks like. I'm like, it probably is what it looked like in 1988.
Yes, in 88, that is what the airport looked like. Yeah. Actually, you can tell, though, because the gate numbers have not changed from the airport. So, story is Santa Claus has come to Orlando to find a replacement in a children's television host and runs into Ernest, the not so smart, not so very clumsy, accident prone, comedic relief sidekick, essentially. There's a girl that comes up, which I didn't realize you were born in that because she looks so much like you. Did anyone else think she looked like, and the mannerisms and everything, like,
it didn't look that much like Kate, but it was definitely giving Kate vibes. Yeah.
All she did was lie the whole time.
Well, not that part.
There were definitely some mannerisms that were there that we love you, Kate. But
okay, I'll take it.
And to make a long story short, I know Pete's gonna say too late, but they get there, the guy ends up accepting the job as Santa. Ernest saves the day because, of course, he saves Christmas. And everyone lives happily ever after, essentially. At least we assume everyone lives, at least for that night, is happy. what going on past that night, we don't really know, but we weren't meant to know. So, okay. That being said, what about this movie was merry and bright? What was very good? And I'm going to cut Pete some slack on this one. Kate, I'll let you start with this.
Well, so I have a question for, before I give my answer. I do have a question for Pete. Had you ever seen an Ernest movie before that you watched this?
No, I remember the commercials.
Okay. So you didn't know what type of humor.
No, I 100% you won. So the scene where he goes into his friend Vern's house and starts ripping things apart.
Is 100% from the commercials.
That's the ads.
Right.
Those were the ads. And I know they started as like local Southern, I don't know what state.
Yeah.
Ads. Okay. And then he went to like, he was doing like for 7-Up or something like that. There was some national ad campaign he started doing.
Okay.
And so I was pretty familiar with him.
Okay.
But I don't think I've seen any of the movies. I definitely had not seen this movie.
Okay. Because I think we're going to have some differing opinions on this. And I was curious what you went into it knowing. So I essentially grew up with Ernest. I remember watching Ernest movies when I was little. And this movie came out in 88. So that's the year I was born. So I grew up watching Ernest movies. I didn't remember. Excuse me. I didn't remember them being as slapsticky as it was. But I think that Ernest, the character, is just so gosh darn lovable that I liked this movie a lot. It's probably, you have to go into it with the right mindset, though. You have to go into it knowing that, like, it is in your face. Slapstick, shticky, corny, ridiculous. That is the only way you will enjoy this movie. For those of you who are listening who haven't seen it,
it's like going into a Mel Brooks movie. You have to know what you're getting.
Yes, yes. It's like if you don't know what you're going into,
a Mel Brooks movie. Not comparing this, but
yeah,
the idea behind it is it's like going into a.
It's like watching Monty Python and not knowing what you're going into.
Right. Right. Yeah. For sure.
Or going into Rocky Horror Picture Show and not know what you're going in. It's like,
okay, that's another level.
So. I loved the nostalgia of it because like that was my childhood. Like that was my childhood, was just the clothes and the songs and the cars. And so it gave me very 1994 starring Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks Sleepless in Seattle vibes. So I really liked it. I thought the acting, the character acting, oh my God, so funny. Just the bouncing back between the two guys that had the reindeer. And he was like, V, M, V, M, V, M. And like, that shouldn't be funny, but it had me laughing out loud. I really enjoyed it. So Pete, you go.
So we're saying nice things, right?
Yes.
I actually chuckled when he did like character disguises.
Uh-huh.
There were several times in the movie where he did that, like he was like a snake herder or whatever you want to call it. And those made me chuckle. So I did appreciate those particular scenes.
Yep.
And I did, even though it was so predictable, I did enjoy towards the end the heartwarming bit of it. You know, again, wasn't nothing came as a surprise. Maybe it's because my wife's been making me watch a lot of Hallmark movies, and so I've been learning to appreciate something that is so obvious that you can't miss it coming, but still appreciate it. so you know, so he can be a charming character. There were points in this movie where he was a charming character. So, there were points where he wasn't, but, so there were bits that I did enjoy. What about you, Steve?
I agree with you. I think what the favorite was when he's doing the character bits, like the old grandma or whatever, and the snake charmer. That's the parts I enjoyed. I also think that the two who played the Santa Clauses, like the current Santa Claus, and I thought those were really well cast. I felt like they had the spirit of what you'd think for Santa Claus. It was a cute story. I mean, for the most part. I have more to say on the other side, so I'm going to pass it to Derek.
I kind of figured. I do remember seeing this in the theaters, actually. This is one of the earliest first-run movies I remember seeing in theaters. I saw all the Disney re-releases and all those kind of things, but this is one of the first-run movies I can actually remember seeing in theaters. Would have come out when I was 8. But as Kate said, if you know what you're getting when you go into this, this is a fun movie. There's really not that much offensive in this at all. It's very vanilla. It's very safe. It's, as Pete said, it's heartwarming. Is it predictable? Yes. But if your target audience is 10 to 12 year olds, ish, or that teenage, you want it to be predictable, especially if it's, you know, the Ernest movies were not known for high drama and high story quality.
No, I wouldn't expect those things from this movie. For sure.
Personally, I think this is by far the best of all of the Ernest movies. It's the only one that ever actually got any kind of international release. But it's fun. There are funny parts that make you laugh. Having done home repairs, when he's trying to pull the cord out of the wall and it just keeps going and going and going all the way up to like the light fixture. It's funny. I mean, again, don't go into this thinking it's a Hallmark movie. At all.
No, I didn't imply that. No. there's no romance at all.
Oh, no. I think it's a fun movie. That being said, I understand it is not everyone's cup of tea. Steve, I'm going to have you start this one.
Oh, so much to say.
You're in a Grinch. What do you
Save some for me, Steve.
That's why I'm having you go last. I figure from what you talked about earlier, you had plenty of a list.
Yes. Okay, I'll mention two. My first one is if Santa's getting ready to pass on his role to someone else, there was no urgency in the film. He was sort of like, yeah, I'd pick this person. If he shows up.
Yes, there was. Yeah, he had to have it done by 7 p.m. on Christmas Eve.
But he was like, there was no like pressure. He's like, well, I guess he's going to show up. I hope he shows up. If he doesn't, Christmas dies.
Oh, well.
I mean, there was no urgency in this. Like, wouldn't you be like, yeah, to me, it's down here. I also found it boring. I found myself pausing and stopping it multiple times because I was losing interest. And then I went, oh, I have to go back and watch it. that was the things. And maybe it's just me of he reminds me a lot of Jim Carrey. And Jim Carrey, his movies just weren't my cup of tea. It was just too silly, not enjoyable. But I like Pee Wee Herman, like the Pee Wee Herman movies. I like those. I find those hilarious. So this one was just over the top. And I got annoyed with all the mugging with the zoom in of the camera and out. Not my cup of tea. And I knew what I was getting going in. Like I knew who he was and stuff.
I can see some of the Jim Carrey comparisons.
Mm-hmm.
kind of. To me,
he's like the big the mugging and over the top.
Oh, he's not. Oh, if this is over the top, Jim Carrey's like over like the moon. I mean, it's this is.
See, I am not a Jim Carrey fan.
I'm not really either. So.
I am not.
They're not exact. But that's the closest person I could.
But I would agree with you that it is the same type of. It's a very physical comedy. It's a very.
But I like physical comedy. Like I love I Love Lucy.
Very funny. I'm being comedy.
Right. But yeah. I Love Lucy was very physical and very facial and. Just
that's true.
It did not keep my interest. Okay. I got bored multiple times.
And I will stipulate that part. There are, you know, this was an hour and a half movie that could have been an hour 15. I will be perfectly honest. I was not a huge fan of the whole storyline with the girl. I kind of get why it was there, but there's not really any good resolution in the fact that, like, no one seems to care that this girl ran away from home over a month ago. And no one seems to care that she's going home, but we don't know how mom's going to treat her. And she felt like she was only there to provide a little bit of a, I'm going to lie. And the stealing of the bag trope is the only reason she was there. I don't think she really, I mean, adding anything to this movie is rather, you know, it's like saying, you know, there's actually something to add to in this movie.
Yeah.
But that's the part that really could have been trimmed back for me personally. Yeah. Kate?
So again, and it's just reiterating what you said. I don't think I would have liked this movie if I had gone into it expecting anything other than what it was. If you don't like that very, very animated. But now Steve's got me thinking because he's right. I'm not a Jim Carrey fan, but I am a huge Lucille Ball fan. Or like, I'm not so much like a Ben Stiller fan because Ben Stiller tries to do that sticky comedy. But Carol Burnett, I love Carol Burnett. And she does the same. She does a lot of
Carol Burnett stuff and, was way smarter than this, yes, though.
Yeah. I would agree. But
you're stepping over the line there a little bit.
It's so funny. I actually agree with Derek. I didn't care for the part with the girl. Like, first of all, why are we rewarding her for lying? Like, constantly. We are constantly awarding her for lying. And, like, she gets in the car and she's like, that's my uncle. And he kept me chained in the basement and get me out of here. And I'm like, ma'am, we need to get you to therapy right now. Like, because all of the lies. So I was really bothered by that. I was also bothered that, like, Ernest just, like, let this kid sleep on his couch. Like,
it was a different time.
It was a very different time. But
it was that goes back. That goes back to Ernest, the kind-hearted.
Absolutely, 100%. But it just that whole storyline as a whole wasn't needed. Like I didn't think that it was that important. Yeah. Sorry, I'm talking too fast. Which is why you were like, she reminded me of Kate. I was like, she was awful. I can rock that like one side.
Yeah, yes, yep.
Yeah. But one side ponytail. But so I really don't have this is just a sticky Christmas movie. I didn't go into it thinking it was anything serious, and I think that's why I liked it so much. So Pete, go ahead, Pete.
Come on. So it's interesting that Steve, I'm more in, yeah. Steve and I are in simpatico here, which isn't a surprise to anybody. I liked what you said about Pee Wee Herman, because like the same thing. I was like, but Pee Wee Herman's funny. And
he's not, he's annoying.
Okay, that's what I think about Ernest, because like
fair.
The parts I least liked about this movie were him. Like and the really super mugging, like driving the cab, and when he goes to see Vern, he's ripping apart the house, and I mean there were scenes in there that was just like, this character is unfunny and an idiot and just obnoxious. And I always felt like Pee-wee Herman, yeah, it's stupid, but there was also a level of cleverness underneath, and there's no cleverness in this movie. And I don't know. So that's why I think Jim Carrey is similar, because you get, I think some of his movies are good, but a lot of them are really just like super, like I think Ace Ventura, though I did like the first Ace Ventura, but
the first one was tolerable. The rest of them are horrible.
Right. But I just think that, I don't know. I think it's just stupid mugging. And I mean, Kate mentioned like in the airport, I couldn't stand those two guys in the airport. That was just like,
I thought they were hilarious. Oh
my God. I chuckled like four or five times in this entire movie, and none of it was at that kind of stuff. It was more at like comments people were making or whatever. Or as I said, when he dressed up and he was like being a different character, then kind of the overtopness of it worked, because like, okay, he's being this snake guy and he's playing this like Florida swamp guy, and it's kind of funny. But when he was
and just he gets being Santa Claus to pretend to be a snake,
yeah, right? Yes, that's right. I don't know.
Or it's, when he went in as the woman,
right?
He went and into the thing, was, and he was like, "It's so sad when you have two sons, and one of them is good, and one of them is bad, and one of them is
funny."
Dead.
I did like that, but when he was just being earnest, I just found him obnoxious and not funny. And so, like, I said, 15 minutes in the movie, I was like, "Is it over yet?" And I did like it better as it went. Because they had less of that the more you got into the movie. So I was just the opposite. It's like, put the girl on screen, put Santa on screen, put this Joe guy on screen, even though he was completely uninteresting.
Oh,
but at least I don't have to watch Ernest.
So I think that was one of my other complaints, was if it's an Ernest movie, there wasn't a lot of Ernest, really. There's little bits and pieces.
I couldn't have sat through 90 minutes of Ernest, though.
Don't watch Ernest Goes to Camp.
Right.
I will never watch another Ernest movie unless choose to make me watch one here. So I will do it for the team.
One that's on Disney Plus.
Is it really?
Yes.
Were the other ones Disney?
I don't know, but they were not distributed by Disney.
Okay.
No, I don't think so. I think I was reading it. They were no longer under Touchstone, so they were no longer Disney.
Gotcha. Well, on the kind side of it, it's not particularly my sense of humor. I do like silly sometimes, but there has to be a level of cleverness underneath it. And I thought a lot of this was just,
it was surface level.
It was mugging. And I don't know, I was never a big Three Stooges fan, and this is kind of Three Stoogey to me.
Okay, that's fair. All right, now I think we've done this before, but it's been a couple years at least. Guys, what is your go-to Christmas show? What is a go-to? You always watch it at some point during the holiday season. It's not Christmas or whatever your holiday is without watching blank. Kate, I'll start with you on this. I'll let you start on this one.
White Christmas.
Okay.
That is our, I mean, there's several, but I'm going to make myself only say one for now, until everyone else has said, but White Christmas, we watch multiple times on Christmas Day.
Wow. I want to let you guys go, because I have three or four I could pick from. So
I've got several too. So I'll let you go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. Okay. I love watching Rudolph, even though there's a lot to pick on in that. And we were watching it the other day, and I don't know, it's to me so quotable and so classic Christmas. So Rudolph. The original Rudolph, not Rudolph's Shiny New Year.
Yeah, fair enough.
Mine's A Christmas Story. You shoot your eye out. I could watch it every year on the TBS marathon, I'll watch it like Kate, I'll watch it multiple times in a row.
And you just watch it whenever you turn it on and you go back to the point that you started.
That's all you need to do. There are certain scenes that just like crack me up all the time. So
I can't stand that movie. I cannot stand that movie.
Oh, it's got some great one-liners.
Well,
Great
one-liners is not a good movie, mate. Since we are going last has its privileges, and I'm going to name the two that have not been mentioned yet. The first one for me is Muppet Christmas Carol. Of the versions of Christmas Carol, that's the one I will watch. And that's the one that if it's on, okay, put the remote away. No, you can't go touch it. We're watching the rest of Muppet Christmas Carol. Has not been on much this season, surprisingly. But love Muppet Christmas Carol. And then the other one that sadly is no longer on network TV at the moment or cable. You have to have Apple TV. Charlie Brown Christmas.
They did play it this year, I believe.
Did they? Was it early?
Yeah, it was really super early.
Heard an alleged, I'm going to put alleged fact because it's the internet and the internet sometimes, but allegedly one of the only times that Linus ever lets go of his safety blanket
is when he says the Luke 2 section. Yeah.
Yep. Is when he said, when God says, fear not, and he drops his blanket. So can I say a couple honorable mentions?
Go one and we'll go around the horn again.
Yeah. Oh, but I have two.
I'll say one for now. And then if no one says it, you can go.
Well, I don't think anyone's going to say this one. So I'll say this one, but then I have one that you all might say. If you've never seen the movie Klaus on Netflix, go watch it. It's an animated movie and it makes me cry every single year. It is Casey and I's.
Okay, Klaus or Claus?
Klaus. K-L-A-U-S.
Klaus.
Hold on, let me. It might have an E on the end. It might have an E.
Oh, sorry.
It's the like sort of untold story. It's so good. Go watch it. It's like it's about this guy who gets sent to this. He's a mailman, and he gets sent to this like island where everybody's unhappy.
I saw this one, and everyone who works in the post office was an alien. And so when they come to find him, oh wait, that's Men in Black 2. Sorry, never mind.
Anyway, he has to find a way to get letters, and so then he starts having the kids send letters to Mr. Klaus, and it's just, and so all of a sudden, and then there's this man in the woods who's like this big huntsman, and he starts making toys, and it's like a creation of Santa story, but it's so heartwarming. Go watch it.
Pete, anything else?
Two words: Die Hard.
Yep, it is Die Hard a Christmas movie?
We just lost Pete. I mean, when even Bruce Willis says Die Hard was not a Christmas movie.
Bring him back.
No.
Bring him back.
Must even I?
It works. It is a Christmas movie.
I'm just kidding. It's not a Christmas movie.
That's because something is set at Christmas does not make it a Christmas movie. Yes,
it's a movie set at Christmas.
Okay. Another one?
Mine, sort of what Pete said earlier, the stop motion, The Year Without Santa Claus, which has the Heat Miser.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
I remember watching it every year, watching it on TV, where you just couldn't go pop in the video. You waited for the weekend they're going to be playing it. So
usually on CBS.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Okay, Kate, you had one more. What was it?
Oh, It's a Wonderful Life, which is actually a horribly sad movie.
It is not. It's not a happy.
No, it is not a happy movie, but my, if you get enough eggnog in me, I will run around the house and yell, "Merry Christmas, you old building and loan!" And that's like my favorite. Not Zuzu's petals. Like
I will argue if Die Hard's not a Christmas movie, It's a Wonderful Life is not a Christmas movie.
I would agree with that too.
What? I said Die Hard was a Christmas movie.
It's a Wonderful Life is a movie that is set at Christmas.
But it's mostly not set at Christmas.
Mostly not at Christmas.
It ends at Christmas.
Don't ruin this for me. Move on.
TBS made it a Christmas movie.
And I'm going back to the original, Miracle on 34th Street.
Oh, another.
Yes, Christmas. Fantastic. Yes.
Fantastic one.
That's a Christmas movie.
That is a
100%. Christmas. 100%.
So, okay, as we always do, we do cups of pixie dust out of 5. So, be interesting to see the spread on this one for Ernest Saves Christmas, Kate.
I'm going to give it a three. I probably could go more. It's fine. I might watch it again. It's not bad, but it's not in 4 or 5 worthy. It's a solid 3.
I'm going to give it a 1.5, and I'm not even sure why I'm giving it that extra half. But
wow,
just because, as I said, I liked the sentiment towards some of the sentiment in it was nice, and so that gets it the extra half. So 1.5 for me, Steve.
I'm giving 1.5, and I do have a reason because I thought about this all day. I'd rather watch Pinocchio the live action again than this movie, and I gave Pinocchio, I think, a 1.5.
Wow.
Actually, Steve, I can't agree with, there's the one point I can't agree with you. I'd rather watch this than that awful.
So, wow. So. 1.5.
And I'll be honest, I'm stuck between two numbers, and I'm going to go.
Give him the higher number.
A higher number? Then I'm giving it a 4.
What a spread!
Can I put Derek down? Is there? I don't have that ability, do I?
You don't have the ability to drop me.
You don't have that power.
But I had forgotten how much I enjoyed this movie. It's a 3.5. I mean, it's a 3.5. It's not a 4. But I had forgotten how much I enjoyed this movie. This will probably go into my, I might not watch it every Christmas, but I'll probably watch it every other Christmas from here on out, just because, or if I've got something, you know, a time where I just, you know, have some time to kill, I would definitely sit down and watch this. So, it's interesting. Okay, Kate, now the telltale part. Kate, what's your thoughts on Pee Wee Herman?
Oh, I loved Pee Wee Herman.
No culture from any of you.
You don't like Pee Wee Herman?
Damn Pee Wee Herman.
Oh, no. I love his creativity.
I was like 6, but going back and watching him again.
Pee Wee's Playhouse?
No.
Oh, no. I loved Pee Wee Herman. But I also, keep in mind, Pee Wee Herman was also older than me. And I grew up with like Blue's Clues, where you had a person talking to slightly inanimate objects and making them make crazy noises. Like, Pee Wee Herman made me laugh. So I liked Pee Wee Herman. Pee Wee's Playhouse.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Pee Wee's Big Adventure is so good.
Oh, Pee Wee's Big Adventure gave me the worst nightmares ever as a kid.
With a big, because
a large Marge.
Yes. So, okay. Now, last week we were originally going to talk about the Star Wars Skeleton Crew series. This is a series where 4 kids have found this spaceship on their planet that is named after. It's like naming a planet El Dorado. It's named after what, Kate?
I forgot one thing I wanted to say about Ernest. I'm very sad because Jim Varney died at the age of 50. I think that we could have had from lung cancer. And I think that was such a loss. I think that we could have had some more magic from him had he not passed away so young.
He was only 50?
He was only 50. 52, maybe.
I thought he was a little older than that, but he was fairly young. Yeah,
he was born in 49 and died in 2000. So 51.
Yeah. Okay.
He died very, I mean, quite a while ago.
At the age of 50.
I had forgotten it was so long ago. So yeah. Anyway, Star Wars Skeleton Crew group of four kids who are from this planet. It's basically like, it would be like naming something El Dorado, named after one of those, named after a treasure city, being protected by a bunch of droids in the outstretches of the New Republic, find this ship and go blasting off to this pirate haven or whatever is this. And they're trying to find their way back home, and Jude Law shows up. And that's what we know. There's been three episodes so far. And I just kind of want to get everyone's general feelings for it. Kate, what's your thoughts so far on... Okay, no. Time out. Before, I want to try to think something. Before we try this, yes or no, Goonies?
100%.
100% yes.
I can't stand the Goonies.
I've never seen it. I know. And I say this every year, and I'm like, I've got to watch the Goonies. Goonies, I don't know. I've never seen it. But Sandlot, yes. Stranger Things, yes. E.T. that has a lot of kids in it, yes.
Okay.
So the reason
she likes the Sandlot, she's going to like the Goonies.
No.
I will say as an adult, I did not like the Goonies as much as I did as a child. Okay. Like, I showed it to my daughter and I was like, this is okay.
So anyway, I'm trying to figure out if liking this and liking, because this has been sold as the Goonies. This has been sold by Disney as the Wonder Years.
Like
a nostalgia, Wonder Years nostalgia type thoughts behind it. It's based on some of their ad stuff. So anyway, Kate, thoughts on Walking Crew after the first three episodes?
So I've watched it. My biggest, and I'm pretty sure, I think Steve agrees with me on this, because even when I was watching, just when we were just watching the first and second ones, I said this, it's so dark. It is visually so dark. I can't follow what's happening.
Yeah, we have to turn our lights down.
Honestly, that and turn the brightness up on your TV.
See, and I think I have been watching it on it,
and if it brightens it up, it's better.
And I've been watching it during the day. I haven't been watching it at night in the dark. I've been watching it like when it's like sunny outside, and we have windows all through our house. So, but that's my. It's hard for me to. I actually do enjoy the kids in this movie. I don't. I really like the first episode, but I think I like the first episode because of them. The beginning of it wasn't as dark. Well, not the very beginning, after the flashback scene. I'm just having trouble getting past the dark color. Not the tone, but the visual. It's just not well lit, and it's making it hard. So I'm withholding judgment. I don't dislike it, but I got to see how it goes. Pete, what about you?
So what I'm finding, I'm enjoying it. What I'm finding charming about it, I think, is like, it made me realize that from a live action standpoint, Star Wars has kind of always been a kid's thing, but there's never been any kids in it. I mean, we have basically one kid, and that's Anakin. And the animated stuff has had kids, but for the most part, the live action, there's no kids. So like when it started and there's like these kids and you're like, oh my gosh, you know, I've never really seen kids in live action Star Wars. I was brought up on Amblin style, so the Goonies and E.T. and those type of movies. Flight of the Navigator is another kind of this movie. You get that feeling too. And I'm enjoying it, and I'm also enjoying the piratiness of it, which is in some ways out of place in Star Wars with how piratey it is. But like the droid on the ship, SM, and it, did everybody get SM-33, SMEE, SMEE? Mm-hmm.
Oh, I did not get that now.
Right over my head. So
the robot is me. Yeah, he's got one eye. Yeah, actually, one of the pirates on the ship. There's a three eye pirate, and he has an eye patch. He's missing one eye. He has an eye patch. But and then like when they were in the brig or whatever they called it, right, the first scene when they're in the brig, you can hear from Pirates of the Caribbean, you can hear them whistling for the dog. You can hear someone whistling for the dog.
Yeah.
there's a bunch of theme park references in it. One of the ships by the pirate area was the Star Tours ship.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. And there was a Goonies reference in one of the episodes when he walked up to Total, like almost very similar.
Yeah, it was definitely referential when they're walking by the moon in the third episode. That was kind of like E.T. flying, Elliot flying by the moon. Is it an amazing show? No, I'm enjoying it. I'm charmed by it. Especially Neil. He's such a fun character. I really like him. Steve, sorry, I don't want to take
the
whole...
Is that the main kid or the elephant kid?
He's the elephant kid.
The main kid is actually kind of annoying, which is also very 80s. Yeah.
Yes. I'm enjoying it. I like sort of the twist of they threw in where they were from the planet that supposedly was supposed to be mythical, whatever. Mm-hmm. And everyone was really, that was sort of like a nice little there. It's enjoying it. It's keeping my interest so far. I'm curious where it's all going to go and how it's all going to wrap up. But I'm enjoying it.
I am not so far. I have come to figure out that I'm apparently very selective on what shows I like that have that star preteens and like tweens in that age group. I think the first three episodes could have been one 45-minute episode instead of an hour and a half. Mm. I'm somewhat in my head comparing this to, has anyone here seen Moana 2 yet?
No.
Because that was originally supposed to be a series that they turned into a movie. And I've always said, you know, my big thing is so many of these series could have just been movies. And I'm curious on the Moana 2 as far as like whether it should have been or it should have been a set of like 20-minute TV shows. But the episodes are, to me, would be better if they were like 27 or 28 minutes where, you know, you throw a couple commercials in it and it's a 30-minute episode instead of it's a 38-minute episode and you're going to throw 20 minutes of commercials in it and be an hour episode. So I know the timing hasn't worked for me. The story just has not grabbed me yet. Because if you want to talk about a very predictable story so far, it's this.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing to keep my interest from any other kids get shipwrecked and a pirate shows up. I mean, it's so far it's Treasure Island.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So,
but this is when Disney bought Star Wars, this is kind of what I wanted, though. It's like, give me Treasure Island through a view of Star Wars. Give me this, you know, a heist movie through the view of Star Wars. And not all of it is going to work.
They tried that with... No, it wasn't
Andor. Andor did a big heist. Andor had the heist, the three-episode arc that was the heist.
Yeah,
that's right.
So. So it can be done. It can be done well.
Yeah. You notice it was a three-episode arc, not a eight-episode.
I mean, I agree that they do struggle. I'm three episodes in, I'm feeling this is working as a TV series for the most part. I admit that they struggle with Star Wars.
Target audience.
Making it. Who's the target audience for this series?
Yes, because if it's kids, it's Dragon.
No, I don't think it's kids.
I don't think it's for adults. Maybe it's for nostalgic adults. I feel like this is
a
tone to more appeal. Because I think the one of the problems with something like The Acolyte is it's exactly designed to try to appeal to the Star Wars adults or Obi-Wan Kenobi. That's not Obi-Wan Kenobi is not there to appeal to kids. That's there to appeal to the older adults.
I think it's appealing to the same types that Stranger Things appeals to. Because Stranger Things is about kids, but it is not a kid show.
Well, that's not a kid show, no.
Not a kid show. But I think it's that same, it appeals to the nostalgic adult, because that's who Stranger Things appeals to, which I guess kind of would be my generation, I guess. But I did have a question. Is the elephant kid, is that a puppet or is that CGI?
CGI.
It's actually both.
Yeah.
It's okay. Part puppet, and then they enhanced it with CGI.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
Which very I found cool. Very fascinating, because that's what my question was.
Yeah, okay. There's an actual kid that plays the part.
Okay. Cool.
And where's the mask? But the mask doesn't do the moving and everything that, yeah.
Okay. Neat.
Okay.
Yeah. Kate? Oh, he's when he's sleeping, he's going,
so cute.
I love Neil.
What do we got for Disney Plus news?
We only have one thing for the Disney Plus news. Malcolm in the Middle will be returning with a 4-episode stint on Disney Plus. The show will feature all of the original cast and will focus on Malcolm's parents celebrating their 40th anniversary.
I never actually watched this show.
Was this the one with Frankie Muniz?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would watch it if it was on every now and then, but.
It was one of the episodes of WandaVision was 100% Malcolm in the Middle.
Yes.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
But I watched it. It must have been in the 90s, right?
Yeah,
it was the 90s.
I was not a kid anymore, but I was a young adult. And I thought the show early on was very funny. I think this is a weird choice to bring back for 4 episodes, and why make 4 episodes? Why not just a TV movie?
Yeah.
Right.
So,
yep.
But
all right. With it being Christmas time, this is the time where we take our annual, we're going to take about 3-4 weeks off, just kind of help us reset, spend some time with family. So we will be returning on January 16th. Or season 5, guys.
What?
Yeah.
That's bonkers. How many episodes have we done now?
This is episode 192.
Oh my God, you guys. That's crazy. And
keep in the back of your mind, going to be doing something special for episode 200 when it comes up.
Oh my gosh, 200 episodes? That's bonkers. That's so fun. Good job, us. Cheers, everybody.
So as I said, we'll be back January 16th. If you have suggestions on stuff we should hit next year, because so far next year is looking pretty darn lean.
January is like zero other than Skeleton Crew finishing up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you've got suggestions, email us at plusplatoon@gmail.com. Message us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, anywhere. You message us, we will reply. Even if we don't think it will work, we'll at least let you know why we don't think it'll work. We have new episodes will still be on Thursdays on YouTube and all the major podcasting services. For Kate, Pete, and Steve, I'm Derek. Hope everyone has a very happy holidays, and we will see everyone next year. Bye, guys.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Bye.
Thanks for watching this week's episode of the Plus Platoon. Be sure to subscribe to the Plus Platoon podcast to keep getting great content each week. Then head over to Apple Podcasts and leave those 5-star reviews, as they help make the Plus Platoon visible to even more Disney Plus fans. Also, go to YouTube and like and subscribe to the Plus Platoon channel, where you can watch all future episodes live. If you have a question for the Plus Platoon, please send us an email to plusplatoon@gmail.com or connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram @PlusPlatoon.
The Plus Platoon is a Disney Plus fan podcast and is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company or the Disney Plus streaming service. All opinions expressed on the show are solely those of the individual hosts and in no way reflect the views of the Walt Disney Company.
Thanks for watching, and be sure to stay tuned for next week's episode, because the Plus Platoon is to be continued.